Welcome to the Joyful Health Show. I'm your host, Casey Schuler, mom, personal trainer, and Bible study author, and I'm here to help you discover joyful health by grace. Have you ever thought, I've been trying to work through my food and body issues on my own, but I'm feeling a little stuck, like I'm not getting anywhere, or I'm not experiencing the freedom that I think I should be. I have been there too. And once I started working with the right coaches one-on-one, my progress was like night and day. I couldn't believe how quickly I grew with that one-on-one support. So now I know that when I have a major block, I want to get help sooner rather than later because I know it changes every other part of my life. And this is why we feel so strongly about one-on-ones that I want to make sure you know what we have to offer here at the Joyful Health Collective for you. So if you can imagine never having to get your body, quote, beach ready again, never even having to think about that, if you can imagine walking into a reunion just full of confidence in the Lord, and completely at peace with the food on the table. Or imagine picking up a new physical activity because it makes you feel alive, strong, and more connected to God instead of the calorie burn. You could do the work on your own, or you can do it with a professional who has invested much of her life into learning the human body, connecting with God, who is the ultimate healer, and who has a passion to help others go from stressed to at rest for their health. So we are here to take you along a direct path to healing your relationship with food and exercise, to challenge those old ways of thinking, to empower you to make choices that align with who God created you to be by grace for joy. You don't have to rely on Google or guesswork. There is a real life expert waiting to meet with you. So let me introduce you to our non-diet Christian dietitian, Krista Smith. Here's a little bit more about her.
Hi friends, my name is Krista Smith. I am a registered dietitian based just outside of Oklahoma City. I have primarily specialized in sports and human performance as well as gut health, working with a variety of clients along the way. And even some subspecialties, including disordered eating and impaired food and movement relationships. For the last few years, I've taught at Cedarville University, and I've consulted with the athletes and even our community there, and developed talks for my church and for women's events. And it has truly been my greatest pleasure working with Christian athletes and active individuals who are desiring to seek the Lord in their health and wellness journeys to ultimately serve Him with their whole hearts, their whole bodies, their whole minds. My husband is a theologian, a professor, and a book author, and we have four amazing kiddos together. And I love spending my time with them and playing outside and cooking and always finding fun new foods to try and enjoy with them. I am so excited to be part of Joyful Health Co. And I'm so looking forward to working with you.
Okay, now that you've heard from Krista, here is what you will get when you sign up with her. You will get your own customized wellness dashboard. And here at Joyful Health, we want to prioritize your highest impact health habits. So we're going to ask you about, you know, your personal vision and mission statements. We're going to help you work through that so your life can be an overflow of your greatest purpose in the Lord. You're going to also get access to our monthly membership so you can have that group support, along with daily devotionals to continually renew your mind. And with Krista, you get one-on-ones with her. The first month you have an intensive, and the other months include two different calls, one every other week, with homework for continued growth. And she will be a touch point for you every other week that you're not meeting with her, so you have that continued support. She is also a certified health coach, which means her services are eligible for HSA or FSA reimbursement. So I encourage you to check with your employer and your insurance to see if you qualify for that. And bonus, we will give you access to our Joyful Health course if you don't already have that. It's created by a registered dietitian and personal trainer to help you build that foundation of grace with intuitive eating and joyful movement principles. So we want to make sure that you have all the education, all the equipping you need to feel empowered through your life. So if you are feeling stuck with diets, want some individualized support with intuitive eating, and are at increased risk for disease, meeting with a registered dietitian can really provide the long-term benefits that you might need. So find out if working with a non-diet Christian dietitian is right for you. You can book a discovery call with Krista by heading to joyfulhealth.co/shop. Don't wait any longer to get that healing that you need. So get started today. We can't wait to meet with you. Hey, hello, Joyful Health friends. Welcome to another episode. Today we have Katie Deans on the show. Welcome, Katie.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so Katie and I are friends. We've really gotten to know each other through this pound class that we take together at the YMCA. I've been teaching, I guess, for about a year, but I don't know. How long have you been taking pound?
Maybe 3 years now.
So, okay. Yeah.
It's definitely my favorite. I love your class.
Yes, it's my favorite too. That's why I can continue doing it. And yeah, it's so fun. And I just did it right before. And so, you know, feel nice and sweaty, but also feel very energized and ready for this conversation as we talk about regulation and getting into our bodies. And, you know, this is really for the person who feels stressed and overwhelmed, and they might need more tools to help to restore that peace that God has already given us. And Katie has lots of experience in this. So if you don't know her, she is a licensed professional counselor in the Athens, Georgia area. And she's been working with local children and families since 2017. She has a master's degree in school counseling and has worked in school, nonprofit, and private practice settings too. She is trained in trust-based relational intervention, as well as child-parent psychotherapy, which are both models that support healing in children and families after experiencing trauma. She lives in Athens with her husband, Caleb, and two daughters, Zoe and Ada. So I love being able to interview local friends and also to share with you this conversation and to share with you her expertise. So Katie, tell us a little bit more about yourself, your story, and how the Lord brought you to this topic in particular.
Yeah, so like you said, I'm a counselor in the area, and I work a lot with children and families. I work a lot now with parents because I've found that, you know, doing therapy with just kids, it's important, but you know, they may be seeing me for 1 hour once a week or every other week, sometimes once a month. And so I really love, you know, getting to speak with parents and empower them to help their kids. I work a lot with grief and loss, just all types of trauma, adoption, foster care. And I've found personally, and also just in my work with families, that you know, being a parent is really hard and caring for kids is really hard, just or whatever you do, your work, whatever it may be, just life is hard and it can leave us feeling overwhelmed, out of control, dysregulated, which hopefully I'll define in a little bit what that means. But just this conversation around regulation has been central to what I've been doing in the last several years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can sense that you've built up a lot of compassion and understanding for people and their situations, because we really don't know what's going on beyond the surface. And you get to explore that with others, and you get to explore that pain and be able to uncover that and in a safe way, in the safe space. So I love that you get to do that with others. And tell us a little bit more about, we can shorten it to TBRI.
Yes, it's kind of hard to say over and over again.
For sure.
Yeah, but TBRI, like Casey said earlier, stands for trust-based relational intervention. And this is a model that I kind of stumbled upon just being, so I'm an adoptive parent. And when I was doing a lot of, my husband and I were doing a lot of education around adoption as we were going through that process. And TBRI came up a lot because it was a model originally developed for families who had adopted internationally, kids who had been in orphanages that didn't receive a lot of care early on. And as these kids were growing up, the parents were realizing there were so many issues around regulation, attachment, and just the way trauma has impacted that. And so that's kind of how the whole regulation thing became something so important for me, because I realized it's such a huge thing, not only for kids and families who are dealing with adoption trauma, but just any of us. So TBRI gives really practical strategies. It's a great framework and has great theories, but also gives really practical strategies for how to regulate, help kids regulate, but also how to help ourselves regulate. So, I mean, really, I recently heard someone explain that it's just about how we do relationships and how to do them well. And I think it really aligns beautifully with the way God approaches us too. So, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. So would you say that this model or framework is mostly for adoptive parents, or could it be for any parent?
It could be for any parent, definitely. Again, it has a lot to do with regulation, and you can have trouble with regulation because of trauma or just because you're a person like living in this world and all kinds of hard things happen. And so I think, like I said, it was developed for adoptive families, but really it's been applied in so many different settings. Schools use it now. There are like court systems using it. Like, it's so interesting to see how it's being applied. So I think it's very relatable for anybody.
Yeah. Okay. So that's really helpful. And so let's kind of get into, you know, we've talked about this word regulating already a few times. So let's, what does it mean to regulate or to self-regulate, and why do we need to be able to practice that?
Yeah. So I think if you're on social media and you follow any kind of like parenting accounts or health related accounts, you're going to hear the word regulation come up, and that's a good thing. But I think it's easily misunderstood. Like, I hear parents in my office say things like, oh, just like, I'm trying to be regulated and my kid's throwing a tantrum and I can't. And they are equating being regulated with being calm. And that is not what it means to be regulated. Being regulated doesn't mean like, I'm just calm all the time. Nothing affects me. I never get upset, because that would mean that you're not a human being, right? And, you know, even apart from sin and the fall, like, God created us as emotional beings. And so regulated does not equal calm, and just perfect, like, calm all the time is not the goal, because joy and excitement, those aren't calm things, right? Those are things that our energy is up. So regulation is really all about the balance of energy in the body. And it has a lot to do with our stress response system. And so if it's okay, I'd like to talk a little bit more about what that actually means. What is our stress response system?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I would love to.
So, so our stress cycle is, you know, you might think back to hearing about our fight or flight response, our freeze response. It's what happens when our brain is perceiving some sort of danger or threat. And the whole goal is safety. We want to feel safe. We want to be safe. And so, you know, if we're, let's say you're driving down the road and a car slams on the brakes in front of you. What are you going to do? Are you going to sit there and think, oh no, the car is slowing down really fast, I need to put my foot on the brake pedal and slow down? No, that's not what happens, right? You automatically respond and you hit the brakes. And so that is your, what's called your sympathetic nervous system. So there are two branches in our stress response cycle in our autonomic nervous system. We have our sympathetic nervous system and our parasympathetic nervous system. And that sympathetic nervous system is when we perceive danger, okay, right? The car slamming on the brakes. And when that happens, a bunch of neurotransmitters, chemicals in our body are released, the stress hormones like cortisol, adrenaline, and all of that happens so that we can kick into gear to deal with the threat right away. And then once the threat has passed, our parasympathetic nervous system kicks into gear. And that's when the body releases calming hormones, neurotransmitters like serotonin and GABA, things that bring us back to a state of peace. And so what regulation is this balance between entering the sympathetic and the parasympathetic state. So we would not be regulated if we were always in sympathetic state. We were always in that fight or flight state. Mm-hmm. We would have stress hormones, chemicals in our body all the time, causing us to feel anxious. Maybe our heart rate's beating really fast all the time. We feel nervous. Maybe we're shaky. That's what you might be experiencing if you're in that state for long term. And I think a lot of us can relate to that, mm-hmm. Being in that chronic state of anxiety. So yeah, regulation again is coming back to making sure there's a balance between being activated like that and then returning to a state of calm.
Yeah, I love that. And because there are both sides and both sides have their purposes for life. And so you kind of talked about too, like, you know, if we didn't have emotions, we really wouldn't be human. And thinking about God himself too, that he, like the Bible expresses God with emotions of anger, you know, he has righteous anger. Over sin. He has compassion towards us. He grieves, you know, with us, and we can grieve the Holy Spirit. And he loves us and he's jealous for us and he's joyful. Like Zephaniah 3:17, he will rejoice over you with gladness. And so it's like, well, we can't, you know, talk about like that regulation as just being stoic and unaffected. So yeah. I like being able to define that for people. And also I think about too, I have a personal experience with not knowing that I was in this really tense state until I went to physical therapy after having my first baby. It was a year later and the physical therapist asked me to relax. And she had put these, some kind of electrical, you know, pads on me to test my muscle tone. And I said, okay, I'm relaxed. And she looked at the monitor and looked back at me and was like, okay, now take a breath and just try to relax. And I was like, okay, yeah. I'm relaxed. You know, she was like, your muscle tone is so high. And so I had no idea. And I thought I was relaxed. I was doing what I knew to do to relax, which was just take a breath. And so she really had to retrain me to breathe correctly, like to be able to take deep diaphragmatic breaths and to, you know, because that affects like the way I was holding my body, affected my mindset, and also my mindset affected the way I was holding my body. And so, you know, being able to see that as a clue, really opened my eyes to, you know, am I living in a place of trusting God, or am I really trying to still control things and holding that tension in my body? And so so for me, I understood why that was important, and to be able to see both sides of the coin of it's good to have that adrenaline response when needed, and it's good to be able to have that parasympathetic response and to come back down in times of safety. So, why else is this important, you know, for the person who may be, you know, like, I kind of get it, but what does it have to do with my overall health? And
yeah,
and my spiritual health too.
There's a lot. Go ahead.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. How does it affect our health in general?
Yeah. So, there's lots of reasons why this is important for our health, but this is how I share with kids and with parents a lot. And this is not original, like, to me. I did not come up with this, but Dr. Dan Siegel, he wrote the book, The Whole Brain Child. And he talks about our brains we have an upstairs brain and our downstairs brain. And our upstairs brain is that part behind our forehead, our prefrontal cortex. And this part of our brain has been shown to be responsible for things like thinking clearly, making good decisions, having good judgment, controlling our impulses, being able to think ahead, learning, like all this stuff that's really important for us, you know, to be in relationships well, to do our jobs well. And then we have our downstairs brain. That would be our limbic area that's responsible for emotions. And then our brainstem, the lowest part of our brain, that's just literally all it does is keep us breathing and our heart beating and keeps us surviving. And so what happens when we are under stress, whether it's short-term, long-term stress, that lower part of our brain is the most active part. It's overactive. And its focus, again, is just survival. And so when you're in survival mode, you're probably going to be more reactive, more impulsive, more anxious and fearful. We kind of expect bad things to happen if we stay in that downstairs brain, in that activated mode. Whereas when we are in a state or parasympathetic state, that state of calm, we're able to access the upstairs part of our brain better. Energy, blood flow, all of that is going to our upstairs brain, and we're able to function better. And so I think for one thing, it's important to know this because it helps us have some understanding for ourselves and others why sometimes things are harder for us to do. If we're having a hard time in relationships or having a hard time just getting, like, cleaning our house, fixing dinner, planning for the week, we might be in a state where we're in our downstairs brain more, where our nervous system is activated, where we might be under stress and not even realize it. And so I think it's important to know this stuff because it can give us clues, and it can beg the question or ask us to look a little deeper and say, what's really going on with me? Why is this so hard for me right now?
Right.
I think about with physical health too, you know, we all have things that we're trying to incorporate to care for our health, and that's harder to do. And we don't feel like we have capacity. We can't think clearly. We can't plan ahead, all that stuff. And then another aspect of it, there's so much research that has shown that chronic dysregulation, chronic stress, impacts our physical bodies. It increases our risk of chronic illnesses like heart disease, diabetes, impacts our digestion, increases inflammation. Our immune system doesn't work as well. I mean, it impacts everything. And I think even as I'm saying it out loud, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm ruining my body with all my stress that I have in my life that I'm not managing. And I don't want anyone to walk away and think like, oh my gosh, I got to fix all my stress or I'm going to get heart disease and, you know, have diabetes and all this stuff.
Right.
But it's just important to be aware that over time, not understanding our own, where our bodies are, our regulation, it can impact us.
Yeah. And I think that's really important too. And what about the spiritual impact? Because everything is connected essentially.
Yeah. Again, I think when we're in this survival state, there's a lot of times I hear it referred to as like protection mode. So being in that survival state, we're in a protective state. Whereas when we're calm or in a connection mode, when we're in that protection mode, I think we tend to draw inward and maybe hide away from people, even, you know, hide, not feel like we can reach out and connect to God.
Right.
I think we might also tend to feel more shame because we're not our best selves when we're in a dysregulated state. Or we're not in balance. So, you know, we might be quicker to yell at our kids, be more defensive. You know, like think about the scripture in Ephesians that says, be angry and do not sin. That's really hard to do, right? Because when we're angry, we're often dysregulated and that upstairs brain's not working as well. So we might make some choices that aren't so great in those moments. And so I think it can impact us spiritually in a sense that it's harder to live out the things that God calls us to. And it can be harder to just reach out and connect to God because we feel like, I don't know if you're like me, I sometimes get into that shame mode and feel like, oh, I don't deserve to connect with God. And I know that's not true, but you know, that is how that can impact me, I think.
For sure. And just like feeling out of control and feeling like, oh, I'm not. You know, if the spirit is supposed to be giving me a spirit of self-control, I'm not living by the spirit, I'm living on my own. But it's hard to do that when it feels out of your hands. And so you talked a little bit about some of those signs to be able to understand it or to identify if you're in that state, like not being able to think clearly, not being able to have good judgment, just being very impulsive, anxious and fearful, expecting bad things to happen. I think I probably wouldn't have the only thing that I would have associated with being dysregulated would probably be to feel anxious and to feel like my heart's racing And so I think that helps shed light on, oh, maybe what if I am dysregulated? So if the person who's listening thinks, I think I get that way too, what are some ways of how to get regulated?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's definitely easier said than done, like most things are. And this is where I draw on that model we talked about, TBRI, because we talk a lot about connecting, empowering ourselves, and mindfulness, being mindful of where we're at. And so I would say the first step would be to embrace being mindful about what's going on with you. I know you guys talk a lot about being intuitive. And so I think that goes hand in hand, you know, has a lot to do with paying attention, noticing what I need, and doing this with compassion and not with judgment, because we know that judgment doesn't make anyone change for the better, right? Like, I love the verse, it says the kindness of God leads to repentance, right? And there's a part of Pete Scazzera's book, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. I don't know if you've read that, Casey, but it's really good. And he says, know yourself that you may know God. And I think being mindful is just getting to know, you know, what are the things that trigger my stress response? What gets me dysregulated? What happens in me when I am dysregulated? What do I need to be aware of? Asking all these questions and being curious gives us, it empowers us to do something about it. If we're not aware, if we don't know, we can't do anything to change it. I also think about the scripture that, you know, says that we're to put off our old self and put on our new self. And we can't put off our old self if we don't know what it is.
Right. Yeah, that's really helpful. And it's a daily practice.
And I think it can be hard to be compassionate towards ourselves too. You know, we tend to, a lot of us tend to expect ourselves to do better and be better. I think we can project that onto God too. Like, yes, he has standard for us, but I love the verse. I think it's in Psalm 103. It says, he knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. Like, yes. God knows where we came from. He knows that we're weak, that we need help, and he has compassion for us. They're really, the self-compassion, I just see that as embracing God's compassion for us.
Yeah, I love that.
In this way. Yeah. And then when it comes to getting practical tools for being a more regulated person, you know, once we know what it is that gets us dysregulated, what types of settings get us dysregulated, times of day, like we get really curious and get all this information, we can start empowering our minds and our bodies to help us live differently. So some, basically what, when it comes to being regulated, the body and the brain just cares about feeling safe. And so what are things that make us feel safe, right? If we're thinking about within our own bodies, if we are not nourishing our body with the food it needs, we're not giving ourselves enough hydration, internally, our brain registers that as feeling unsafe, and it can help us, it can cause us to feel dysregulated. And so, yeah, looking within our own bodies, what can I be doing for my body? Movement, I know you talk a lot about joyful movement. So moving our bodies, meeting our sensory needs. Everyone has sensory preferences or things that we don't like, whether that's certain foods, textures, noises. Like I have a hard time with really loud noises. And sometimes I put in my little noise, not noise canceling headphones, but like they reduce the sound. You know, at home at the end of the day. It really helps. It reduces the noise so that I don't feel so dysregulated. That just practical things like that, that help meet those sensory needs, can help you feel more regulated and not find yourself swinging, you know, out of balance from activated to like calm, activated calm so much. And then, yeah. And on the subject of movement, I know we've talked about this with pound class, Casey, the drumming and rhythm and all that good stuff. Research has shown that movement that is rhythmic, that's repetitive, that's relational, like it's done with other people, and that is somatosensory, so involving the body, that is really regulating. And so, you know, the most basic example to me is think about an infant. When an infant cries and you pick the infant up, what do you immediately start doing?
Bouncing, swaying.
Yeah, bouncing, swaying. And partially that's you regulating yourself, because when a baby cries, like, we get a little dysregulated too. And so sure. I just think that's amazing. Like, our bodies just kind of kick into that gear. And we bring regulation to our, you know, to our kids in that way. But that same basic movement, that type of input, it carries over throughout our entire lifespan. That type of movement is very regulating for us. So when I think of, like, our pound class, we're drumming, we're listening to music, we're doing it together. It's rhythmic, repetitive, we're moving our bodies. Like, that is extremely regulating for the body. Other things, walking, running, if you enjoy that, playing a sport like tennis, I think, like, a lot of rhythm and repetition, relational. With kids, I'm like, oh, jump on the trampoline. That's
and
very
I love
regulating.
Jumping on the trampoline. It's just natural.
Yeah. I love it too. And even listening to music, this is another just little fun hack, but looking up bilateral music or bilateral beats, where the sound, the volume kind of shifts from one earbud to the other back and forth, that can be very regulating for the brain and body as well. So I know that was a lot, but I just want to throw out as many things as possible, because I think not all of it's realistic. It's not realistic to do all of it. And so finding things that work for you is important.
For sure. Right. And so someone who's listening can just latch on to one of those things to try out of, like, okay, can't maybe do all of those things, but what's one go-to that I can implement? Is that music? Is it just finding some bilateral beats music? So when I think about two, so with that, you have to have two different earbuds to make that work. You can't just listen to it on a speaker from your phone.
I mean, probably not. Although I've seen where, like, some, I don't know if you've seen the scrolling Instagram, but if you turn your phone sideways, people have designed music where it comes out, like, one end of the phone than the other.
Oh.
Have you seen this? Yeah.
No.
I don't even know what to search for that, but I have seen that.
That is an option.
And then in my office, we recently two speakers that you can put at different ends of the room that basically does that same thing as if you're wearing earbuds. So
yeah. I like that. Okay. Anything else? I know that you have, you've listed a lot of things, but as far as, you know, the relational piece, do you have anything to add there?
Yes. So connection is also really important. Being connected to other people that make you feel safe and loved. And Dr. Steve Forges, he says that connection is a biological imperative, which I think we know to be true from scripture. We were designed to be in relationship with God, to be in relationship with each other. So it being a biological imperative means we need it for survival.
Yep.
We need it to have, you know, to have a meaningful life. And again, going back to an infant cannot survive without a caregiver, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's necessary for survival. And as we get older, yes, we can technically self-regulate. We can meet our needs and do things to care for ourselves on our own. But I really don't think that's what we were created for, you know, to have all of our needs met by ourselves. We were created to be in relationship with God, to be in relationship with other people. And a lot of times we hear that referred to as co-regulation. Mm-hmm. So there's self-regulation, I'm regulating myself. There's co-regulation, I'm leaning on other people to help me regulate, and I'm helping regulate them. Mm-hmm. So what that might look like is, you know, you're having a really bad day, maybe you're really anxious, really angry, and you call a friend. And you, and they don't even have to fix it, right? Like, they just listen to you. They let you know you're not alone. And I think that, I mean, along with the other stuff we've talked about, that's important. But this might be the most important aspect of regulating. And ultimately, you know, I love thinking about that we can co-regulate with God, right? Like, not that God needs us to regulate himself, but we can go to him for regulation. Whether that's going and reading scripture or just sitting in his presence, talking to him.
Yeah, that reminds me, and this is from one of our previous podcasts with Tracy Brown, and she's does more of embodied dietitian work, and she talks about the definition of trauma from Peter Levine of trauma is not what happens to us, but what we hold inside, and the absence of an empathetic witness. And so I think about just like that, having an empathetic witness is crucial, and you know, God can be that. And I also think of connection of, okay, social media probably doesn't check that box.
No.
As far as a human connection and not helping to regulate.
Yeah. And it can, I think it can be, depending on your own history, what your life has looked like, what relationships have looked like for you in the past, that can be really hard. Mm-hmm. And it can feel unsafe to co-regulate for good reason. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you've been harmed by the people that should have been the people that should have been there for you.
Yeah.
And so I want to be mindful of that too, that is something, something that may take time to find safe people, or even if you find safe people, to feel safe, allowing them to care for you.
Yeah. That's a really good point. Okay. I think we've talked about a lot of really good practical things, and we have talked not about the scriptural support for this kind of practice too. This is not just something that's based in psychology and science. It is, like you said, a biological imperative. And if God is the creator, then he's built this into us. Do you have anything else to add about the spiritual component of this practice?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, we've weaved it in throughout the conversation already, but I think just to summarize that, I think being able to learn to regulate, to regulate ourselves, to co-regulate is part of sanctification. And what I mean by that is, you know, again, we have these things that God calls us to as believers, not things that like make us in a better standing with him, but just ways that he tells us that as his people, this is what our lives should look like. You know, be like I said earlier, slow to anger, be angry, but do not sin. Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that for what is good, building up others. Mm-hmm. Love others as you love yourselves. It's really hard to do all those things when we're in a dysregulated state.
Or even and regulated.
So or even regulated. Absolutely. Yes. Yes. And, you know, as believers, we're in this already not yet state where we're already made right with God. He sees us as holy and blameless, but we're not quite yet living that out. But we're headed that direction. And I think about Paul in Romans. He says, For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Mm-hmm. And I think practicing regulation helps set us up to do differently, to do what it is that we actually want to do, because God has put his desires in us. It's just a matter of living that out now.
Right.
So I think there's lots of ways it ties in with scripture, but that comes to mind of regulation being a way for us to live out sanctification.
Agreed. Okay, so we have talked a lot about, you know, what is regulation? What is it not? How do you know when you're dysregulated? What are some ways to get regulated? And so we will put a lot of these notes in the show notes so that you can go back and review. But if you're just listening to this and you're not able to access those at the moment, what's kind of one takeaway that someone can use and start getting regulated for their day and when they find themselves being dysregulated?
I think the one takeaway would be, I would hope that listeners would just start getting curious with compassion, asking themselves questions, and instead of avoiding the fact that maybe you're feeling anxious or you're feeling angry a lot or overwhelmed, being curious and saying, what's going on that might be making me feel this way?
Right.
How is my brain and body perceiving threat, danger that's causing my nervous system to kick into gear? What are my emotions and behaviors telling me? Kind of seeing what's underneath. Yeah, that's what I would hope that they could start doing.
Yeah, I love that. And some of our core values are to start with prayer, to lead with compassion. And I think we can apply that too to our own personal journey and the way that we talk to ourselves and have that conversation with the Lord is leading with compassion, remaining curious, cultivating connection, walking with integrity. So yeah, I think that fits right in. So yeah, so hopefully you won't think you just have to leave with a laundry list of things to do, but you can lead with compassion and go from there and know that a lot of these sensations and emotions are messengers. And so how can we listen in and understand what our body is telling us, you know, about our situation, about our state of mind and our posture and all those things. So, okay. I love that. I'm so thankful for this whole conversation. And the bonus question that we've been asking lately is, how have you been discovering joyful health?
That's a good question. I've already mentioned pound like 5 times, but I think doing the pound workout is just so fun. And I think too, I used to be really rigid about the types of workouts I would do because I would think, oh, I have to lift weights this number of days a week or have to do it this way. And I'm finding that I can lean more into doing what I enjoy, that there, it doesn't have to be so extreme. And so, yeah, pound has been one way for me too. I mean, it is a great workout, but yeah, I'm finding that I don't have to be so rigid and I can just move my body and enjoy it.
Yes, I love that. And also, I always encourage rest too. I think I used to do this and to congratulate people who would come to the gym every single day, but then that means they're probably not resting or listening to their bodies. And when they need to probably take a break and to trust that it's going to be okay. Like they're not going to lose all of the muscle and the energy that they've had. And so I know that today you were like, I am feeling a little bit stressed and I knew I needed to take a break from the class today. And that's really huge for the journey of consistency as well. And so I think that that allows you to continue listening to your body and do what you enjoy doing and to regulate. You're not adding more stress. So so I'm thankful to hear that. Okay, Katie, how Yes. can others find you if they would like to follow along with your content?
Yes. So I am on Instagram and you can search Katie Deans Counseling. And then I also have a website. It's just katiedeanscounseling.com and you can read more about what I offer and yeah, how to find me.
Do you have any kind of virtual practice or at this time, or is it mostly in person in Athens?
I am mostly in person. But I do take some virtual clients if that's the only, you know, the best way for them to get services. I can only see people in Georgia. Okay. Just that's how telehealth works with my licensure. But yeah, I do a little bit of both.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much. Would you do the honor of praying for us as we head out?
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah. Father, thank you that we could have this conversation today about regulation. And we praise you for the way you made our bodies so well, and that you've created our bodies in a way that we can regulate ourselves. And I ask that the listeners would be able to find ways to empower their bodies with regulation and find the courage to connect with other people that help them feel safe. And yeah, ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. And thanks everyone for listening. Until next time, may you rest in His grace and follow the joy. Hey, congrats! If you are hearing this, that means you've made it to the finish line. Give yourself a high five for me. Thank you for listening all the way through. I hope and pray this episode has blessed you so that you can more fully enjoy God, glorifying Him, and blessing others. If you want to talk about this episode with more Joyful Health friends, join our free Facebook community. Head to joyfulhealth.co/podcast and get connected with us there. Before you move on with your day, would you consider taking a moment with the Lord in prayer to process what you have heard in the podcast? Ask God what He is revealing to you about Himself and what you can do in response. And for all my regular listeners, thank you in advance for writing a review and sharing this podcast with someone else who is tired of the wellness rules and is ready to rest in God's grace and the Holy Spirit's power for their health. A big, giant thank you to all our podcast guests and to my husband, Maddox Schuler, for writing and recording our podcast music. It takes a village, and we are glad that you are a part of ours.